Well, this morning I'd like to read one of the resurrection accounts, the one from the Gospel of Mark, and follow it up with a word from Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, and offer a few thoughts on it. First reading from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. So very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another along the way, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed, and he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. Now go and tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Jesus tells us in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, that blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I suppose nowhere is that lesson any more powerfully demonstrated than this morning on the resurrection. As the story begins, if we had known nothing else about it, if we had ignored Jesus saying that he would be raised on the third day, if we had failed to understand as the disciples did at the time, and we had seen these women going to the tomb, we might have asked what they were doing. After all, Jesus is already buried. It's too late to anoint his body for burial. Jesus even said that the woman who poured perfume over his feet earlier in the week had actually anointed his body for burial, so there was no need. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had put a quick preparation of spices on his body the evening that they buried him. And with the stone rolled in front of the tomb, there really was not much sense in going to the tomb at all. But if you were to ask the women, "Why are you doing this?" they would say, "We're doing it because we're grieving the loss of a loved one." Grief is a funny thing. It leads us to do things that most of the rest of the time people would say is foolish, is a waste of time. In fact, I think grieving has really lost its favor in the world today. Used to be, whole societies would have rituals involving grieving. The Jews in particular would have professional grievers who would come to the home of someone who had lost a loved one, and for a week they would do nothing but grieve, as if to demonstrate to the family how to do it. You may remember when Lazarus died and was put in the tomb. Mary and Martha were in their house, and there were with them several people. And some of those people, the only reason they were there was to grieve, to cry, sort of like the laugh tracks that you see on some TV shows that tell us when to laugh in case we didn't quite get the joke. So there were people who would teach them how to grieve. In our society, it seems as though we don't really have time for grief anymore. See, there's three things about grief that make it really a bother in this busy day in which we live. First of all, it takes time. These women had to buy these spices. They had to prepare the spices. And then they had to come to the tomb. And that all takes time and it takes work. It takes work to put these spices together and properly prepare them. And it would have taken work if the body had still been there for them to properly anoint Jesus' body and say to themselves, now we've done everything that needs to be done for this person who died to demonstrate our love for them. But the main thing about grieving is it's painful. It really hurts to admit that you're grieving. And there's a lot of pain associated with it. We don't like pain. We don't really like anything having to do with grief. We don't have the time for it. We're too busy. Funny, with all our labor-saving devices, we're too busy for a lot of things that used to be a part of everyday life. People used to know how to play musical instruments and would entertain themselves by playing on the front porch. Don't do that anymore. We turn on the radio or the TV or our iPods or whatever, and we have instant music piped to us. We don't have to learn how to play anymore. And we don't have to learn to grieve because we can occupy ourselves with other things. Keep the grief at arm's length so it doesn't bother us. We're just too busy. And most of all, we just don't like the pain involved. When we have any kind of pain, we usually find some sort of pill to take care of it. If it's indigestion, we take a Tums. If it's a muscle ache, we take a Tylenol. Whatever pain we have, there's a pill for it. There really isn't a pill for emotional pain, although they're working on it. So what we do is we just keep ourselves busy. But when you think about it, when it comes to grief, it's easier just to tell ourselves, well, it's not that big of a deal. And this is what we've done with death in general. Rather than face the reality of death and deal with the pain that comes from losing a loved one or recognizing that our own death is going to come sometime, we've taken the whole topic of death and we've put it up on the shelf. And we just don't bother with it. We've done the same with God in a way. Most of us can look back at a time in our lives when God really disappointed us. And this is especially true these days when so many broad generic claims are made of God. You know, believe in God and all your troubles are over. Pray to God and you'll get whatever you pray for. And in the age of instant gratification, God just doesn't work. And many people will say, if they're honest with themselves, they'll say, we really aren't sure if there is a God because he's just disappointed us so often. We just don't bother with him anymore because we don't want to be disappointed again. And we do the same thing with death. We just tell ourselves that it doesn't matter anymore. We don't have to take the time to grieve. We have jobs, and we can't take time off from our work to grieve. So I find at many funerals, you don't have the crowds you used to have because people are just too busy. They may come for a moment for the viewing, but then they're gone, and they don't stay for the service. We don't want to do the work of grieving, sending cards and notes to people, making food, calling and stopping in just to see how they're doing. This is sort of a lost art anymore because we just don't want to take the time. But mostly, we don't want to face the pain that is inherent in death. We sugarcoat death. We say, well, death is just a part of life. We tell ourselves it's natural. Everything dies. Everybody dies. What's the big deal? We don't listen to that voice inside of us that says it is a big deal. For some reason or other, there's a voice inside of us that says, we were not made to grieve, and grief is not natural. It may be a natural part of life now, but it wasn't meant to be. And we don't hear that voice speaking to us because we cover it up with other things in an effort to avoid the pain of grief. We speak of future lives through reincarnation, where the failed promises of this life have an opportunity to be fulfilled. And we just don't consider the possibility that death brings finality to our relationships and eventually to our lives. And because of our disappointment with God, we often simply ignore him as well. We don't give him any time. We don't allow him his time to do things as he would do them. If he doesn't act on our schedule, we just say, well, there is no God, and we go on our way. But if these women in this morning's lesson from Mark, if they had followed our example, think what would have happened. They would never have come to the tomb because they would have been too busy with other things. After all, they're just a Passover just ended, and the Passover celebration was in full swing. And if you're a Jew, believe me, there are a lot of things you need to do at Passover time. They never would have taken the time to prepare the spices. They never would have come to the tomb. And if they had never come to the tomb, they never would have found it empty. Now, when they found the tomb empty, they didn't know what to think. Mark tells us that even after the angel told them, you know, go and tell the disciples, they ran home and didn't tell anybody because they were too afraid. But one of them, at least, was willing to face the confusion and the pain of this morning and the surprise that they had with the empty tomb. She went back to the tomb. That was Mary Magdalene. And going back to the tomb, she actually met Jesus himself. This would not have happened if she had simply told herself, well, it's no big deal, I'll just get on with my life. If they had never faced the reality of Jesus' resurrection, they would never have known that there was a hope stronger than death. They never would have realized that as deep as your pain goes, the love and promise of God goes deeper still. And that's true in our daily lives when we get discouraged with God and we're tempted to give up on him. As we read through the scriptures, we find many examples of people who felt a lot of pain in regard to God because God was not meeting their expectations. But instead of giving up on God, they brought their pain to him with expressions like, how long, O Lord? Or, will you shut your ears to me forever? Will you not listen to my prayers? Will you not answer me? And eventually God would answer them. And their patience and their willingness to endure the disappointment and the pain of unanswered prayer led eventually to experiencing a God whose comfort goes deeper and higher than any experience we might have, even the experience of grieving. What lesson do we learn as we follow these women to the tomb, as we run back with them to their homes and they remain in silent, not telling anybody? What do we learn as we watch Mary Magdalene make her way back to the tomb to try to find answers to those questions that had come into her mind, beginning with Jesus' arrest and trial, coming to a height with his crucifixion and death, and then the big surprise of the empty tomb? What do we learn as we stick with them in their pain until their pain is answered by God? We learn two things. We learn that without facing death, we can't face life. Because as Jesus tells us, only by mourning can we be comforted. I believe we all have things in our lives that we need to mourn about. We all have losses that we need to admit to ourselves. We need to admit the depth of the pain that those losses cause. And until we are honest about those things, we will never realize what joy may be buried in those pains. We may never discover an empty tomb where we thought we had buried our grief. And secondly, and more importantly, if we don't face death, we don't receive life, because Only in Jesus do we find a comfort and a joy that's stronger than death. If we let any sadness, any grief, any disappointment in our lives keep us from trusting in God, we're missing out on a joy that goes deeper still. If there's any area of our lives that we say to ourselves, I'm not going to share this with God, it's too painful, and he wouldn't understand anyway, and besides, I just have to ignore it and move on, we may never discover that buried deep in what we thought was a tomb of grief is actually an empty space that God is waiting to heal. The healing can only come if we go there, if we take the time and do the work and face the pain of going to those places of grief. Only then will we understand the depth of the promise that is contained in Jesus' words, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If those women who had gone to the tomb that first Easter morning could be with us this morning and give us one message, I think what they would say would be something like this. Find your hope in Christ by facing the pains in your life. Bring them to God. You may discover that though the source of your pain may not go away, the love that God anoints your pain with is strong enough not only to carry you through, but to help you to see in the midst of your pain a purpose that God may have in your life. Heavenly Father, we pray that on this Easter morning, on this day of resurrection, we might see as if for the first time the joy that these women experienced when the truth finally sank in that Jesus was risen. But help us to know we will not discover that joy unless we are willing first to visit those areas of pain in our lives and bring them to you, having the faith to believe that you understand and you care and that your love is stronger than grief and death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing the closing hymn, number 264.